Metal Gear Solid 2 was released in 2001 and prophesied our current era, in which we find ourselves on the brink of another industrial revolution and in the fog and haze of information warfare. The word truth has become an economy unto itself. It has lost its sovereignty, and we are flooded day in, day out, 24 hours a day, with seemingly contradictory truths. The next genius move of the entity, to completely destabilize our perception of reality. But a question remains, how did a video game in 2001 predict our current era of social media and digitized information warfare so accurately, before Google, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram were invented? The most sensible answer is that the technology of the digital world was developed, in secret, many years before it was unleashed onto the public. But is that a reasonable hypothesis? Could technology really be developed in secret and subsequently given to the public later under the guise of invention, innovation, and business? And if so, has technology always been developed secretly behind the scenes? The ruins of Revo Abbey. The medieval monasteries of Britain suffer from a kind of cliché misrepresentation, a distorted preconditioned image perpetrated by the entity. We think of monks dressed in wool, living in quiet solitude, toiling in their fields and attending structured prayer. This could not be further from the truth, and it doesn't help that they are all in ruin. Revo was a massive site, including more than 70 outbuildings and covering 100 square miles of Yorkshire. Now only the abbey remains in ruins, but there were many factories in its jurisdiction. And in 1997, archaeologists and geophysicists found something remarkable. They set out to investigate 13th century iron-making techniques, using extremely sophisticated magnetometers and fluxgate grandiometers. What they found, as William Rosen states, caused quite a stir in the world of technological history. They found an abundance of residual magnetism around the site. It suggested that the furnaces in use during the 13th century at just one of the abbey's iron smelters were producing iron at a level of technical sophistication equivalent to that of 18th century Britain. The newspapers at the time declared that King Henry VIII's dissolution and destruction of the monasteries in the 1500s delayed the Industrial Revolution by 2 centuries. But they were producing this level of iron in the 1200s, and Revo is just one site. It's not the largest. Fountains Abbey and Furnace Abbey were much bigger. Interesting name that, Furnace. There were over 800 monastic sites in Britain alone. Perhaps it was the Black Death in the 1300s that truly delayed the Industrial Revolution. It certainly would have slowed progress. There is an abundance of evidence that suggests these were Christian sites, but Revo is also evidence that these monasteries were much more, and that the Industrial Revolution was on track to happen much earlier in the historical timeline. But a question remains, where did all that technological knowledge and infrastructure go? The monasteries are in ruin, their contents are missing, either stolen, buried, or reused. It would not surprise you if I told you that the internet, in its pre-form, was invented at DARPA, the US Department of Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. It was developed in secret before being launched to the world. But would it surprise you if I told you that the steam engine shared a similar story? In 1639, the government-run Royal Office of Ordnance had been expanded to include part of an ancient estate, Vauxhall. Vauxhall was a place of resort for artists, mechanics, and where experiments and trials of profitable inventions should be carried on. Or as Rosen states, it was a sort of 17th century equivalent of DARPA. The steam engine in question was invented by a military engineer here, and developed for the sole purpose of pumping water, a new invention for raising any quantity of water to any height by the help of fire alone. This is in the mid-1600s, a steam engine being developed by the military, in secret, way before the Industrial Revolution. This is direct evidence that significant technologies have been developed in their pre-forms by military engineers for centuries before our modern era. And given the extremely high levels of magnetism discovered at Revo, it begs the question, is there a connection between the technology lost at the end of the Middle Ages and the military? Where did the engineering infrastructure that was once present at these monastic sites go? Is there a relationship between these sites and steam? Was technology one of the real reasons they were destroyed by Henry, under the guise of politics and a divorce? Were their contents secretly absorbed into the military? Finding evidence of secret military involvement in repurposing technology of the Middle Ages is not going to be easy. Documents would have likely been handwritten, archived under top secret, or destroyed. But in my search for evidence, I found something quite different, but more startling. They say the devil's in the detail. There is a slight misconception that architecture, canals, bridges, and so on are the sole product of civil engineering, of innovative architects, hard-working citizens, and slaves. That's just one part of the story. There is another side to the story that's been greatly overlooked and, in many cases, buried. Since the beginning of the Age of Transition, construction technology and engineering methods were one of the best-kept secrets of the European military. In his article on British military engineers in 19th century India, John Wyler states, "Surprisingly, this significant historical phenomenon has been barely explored by scholars." And I'm not surprised, because as I have come to learn, military engineering from the 1400s to the 1700s operated through the tacit transfer of technological knowledge. Tacit means silent, unspoken. It means secret. And one of the greatest secrets of the military during the Age of Transition was cement and concrete. It was treated like precious gold. Formal and technical documentation on hydraulic cement doesn't really appear until the 1750s. But as scholar Chandra Mukherjee explains, in 1670, the entrepreneur for the Canal du Midi imported pozzolan from Italy to make hydraulic mortar. Pozzolan is the key ingredient in Roman concrete. He did so under the recommendation of the French military engineer Louis-Nicolas de Clerville. And Mukherjee asked a series of vital questions. How was hydraulic mortar remembered and used before its rediscovery? How did they know where to acquire the ingredients? How did they mix their cement? None of this is documented. It was developed in secret. The technique for using it was not formally recorded, so it was preserved tacitly, not in texts, but in practice. As Mukherjee explains, secrecy was a key virtue in soldiers. Military engineers had vast libraries of manuscript maps that they kept concealed rather than published. Clerville protected secrets in his engineering, in his devices for the canal and other structures. Clerville's successor, military engineer Sebastian Vauban, started to have concerns. Because soldiers lived short lives, there was a risk of losing expertise when soldiers died. So he began recording a little of this tacit, secret technological knowledge. One record details a recipe for hydraulic cement. Lime, sand, and pozzolan or pulverized brick passed through a baker's basket, 2/5 of lime with 3/5 of sand, and so on. What is striking is that this formula differs from others that scarcely appear in the historical record. It is a novel formula. It was passed on and developed purely in secret. And this practice of secret and advanced military methods of construction did not cease once formal documentation on cement arose during the 1700s. As John Wheeler explains, the 19th century British military engineers were well ahead of their civil engineer countrymen in establishing a significant presence in foreign territories. British engineers moved into foreign lands from the late 1830s, carrying with them the influences of advanced technology. engineers were active in India from the mid-18th century as a separate branch of the army in the service of the East India Company. British military engineers were well underway in the Caribbean in 1700s, in India, Canada, in Western Australia. During the period 1851 to 1856, Royal Engineers undertook a variety of experiments. In India, experimentation with lime, cement, and concrete led the way. They developed magnesia cement, more accurately described as natural hydraulic cement made from magnesian limestone. They were also setting up a whole range of prefabricated structures. In another article, Todd Shallot informs us that America's oldest and largest construction agency was the Corps of Engineers. They built massively and with great precision. And part of their knowledge also relied on the person-to-person, word-of-mouth transfer of technological knowledge from industrial Europe. Again, the transfer of tacit or secret military engineering knowledge. Why is this important? Firstly, this demonstrates that there was a military-industrial complex of engineers dealing in secret with undisclosed and experimental technologies during the Age of Transition. There is enough evidence to classify this as a theory. The military has always been at the forefront of technological innovation. It goes back to the Republic of Venice at the end of the Middle Ages, where in this department, all types of instruments and machines are constantly being constructed. But the highly secretive manner when it comes to concrete is startling. They were not this careful when it came to the steam engine. That is documented. So why was something like concrete guarded so carefully? And to what extent did they develop and use it? Wouldn't sharing this knowledge benefit all societies immensely? You could argue it was to stop other nation-state militaries from stealing techniques and gaining advantage. But let's hypothesize a bit more. What if all militaries were unknowingly controlled and under the rule and might of the entity? Do you know what you can do with cement and concrete, especially cast concrete? It's common knowledge that the ancient Romans built with brick and concrete. The Pantheon, Colosseum, Temple of Saturn are all concrete. When the empire fell, concrete largely disappeared until the Renaissance. A very peculiar and abrupt period of discontinuity. 1,000 years. Great Pyramid K 2019 provides ample evidence that the Great Pyramid and Sphinx are concrete. This has also been verified from other sources. What if the entity, through its military-industrial complex, began using secret, tacit engineering technology during the Age of Transition to construct and modify many structures? What if some were assigned to earlier dates in the timeline? What if the real history of Rome was deliberately buried, and Shadow Rome took its place, and, influenced by Egyptian methods of construction, began fabricating these ruins out of artificial stone? Could many ruins be artificial? Have you noticed how many classical sites also feature obelisks? Have you ever heard of the Renaissance book hunters, of Poggio Bracciolini in particular? Was the history of the Imperial Roman Empire rewritten in order for Shadow Rome to assert itself politically? To cultivate fashions among citizens, so they blindly began replacing their medieval heritage in the classical style? And to what extent has undocumented artificial stone technology been used to erase, change, and replace structures that came before? But then there is a problem of storing and developing these technologies in secret, especially during the early periods of the Age of Transition. Where would they do that, and with what workforce? What is a fortification? A defensive measure in times of warfare? Yes, but also an impenetrable stronghold. Perhaps a place to develop technology in secret. A sanctuary to store the hidden. Perhaps even a prison to keep slaves. A formidable fortress that is not easy to enter or escape from. where did the technological infrastructure of Revo go? A star. Light. Who worships a light? And could some of these be connected to pre-Renaissance dumbs, deep underground tunnels? Metal Gear Solid 2, a prophetic warning. I'm sure this entity is reveling in the curious entertaining the idea that the people of the past could not build these structures. Perhaps it doesn't want us looking too closely and seeing the facades, the cement, the stucco, the scagliola, the codestone, the terracotta. The artificial stone that's everywhere, and how easy they could do it. Perhaps it wants us to think that this all belonged to an advanced civilization, and not look into the archives, to not find the stone-cutting machines, the concrete formulas, to not question the tacit secrecies of its military force. Metal Gear Solid told us in advance the next genius move of this entity. It is using digital information warfare to encourage the organism of society to participate in an act of propagating contradictory truths, enticing them into believing everything is a lie, to select what truths are worthy and what are not. It's tricking you into erasing the past. We are in a transitory phase where the book is slowly dying, and the automated, digitalized realm of information technology reigns supreme. The book is its rival, and the book is losing. Why consult the library when you can ask Google? Why read and try to discern what's true and what's not when you can just say it's all fake? At first, this entity collected the book in its arms, in its digitalized archives and libraries. I'll keep you safe, it said. But it now overwhelms the individual with contradictory truths, destabilizing their received notions of reality. And perhaps eventually, it will begin to slowly change the information in its digitalized archives. This will be the moment it slays its rival for good, and a rewriting of mankind's history will begin. And I think it's done it before. Before the book was the primary chronicle, there existed another great script of mankind's history. A script written in stone. Let me try and show you how it was potentially rewritten. From now on, things are about to become quite worrying.
Raiden, are you receiving? We're still here.
How is that possible? The AI was destroyed!
Only GW.
Who are you?
To begin with, we're not what you'd call human. Over the past 200 years, a kind of consciousness formed layer by layer in the crucible of the White House. It's not unlike the way life started in the oceans 4 billion years ago. The White House was our primordial soup, a base of evolution. We are formless. We are the very discipline and morality that Americans invoke so often. How can anyone hope to eliminate us? As long as this nation exists, so will we.
Cut the crap! If you're immortal, why would you take away individual freedoms and censor the net?
Jack, don't be silly.
Don't you know that our plans have your interests, not ours in mind?
What?
Jack, listen carefully, like a good boy.
The mapping of the human genome was completed early this century. As a result, the evolutionary log of the human race lay open to us.
We started with genetic engineering, and in the end, we succeeded in digitizing life itself.
But there are things not covered by genetic information.
What do you mean?
Human memories, ideas, culture, history.
Genes don't contain any record of human history.
Is it something that should not be passed on? Should that information be left at the mercy of nature?
We've always kept records of our lives, through words, pictures, symbols, from tablets to books.
But not all the information was inherited by later generations. A small percentage of the whole was selected and processed, then passed on. Not unlike genes, really.
That's what history is, Jack.
But in the current digitized world, trivial information is accumulating every second, preserved in all its triteness, never fading, always accessible.
rumors about petty issues, misinterpretation, slander.
All this junk data, preserved in an unfiltered state, flowing at an alarming rate.
It will only slow down social progress, reduce the rate of evolution.
Right. You seem to think that our plan is one of censorship.
Are you telling me it's not?
You're being silly. What we propose to do is not to control content, but to create context.
Create context?
The digital society furthers human flaws and selectively rewards development of convenient half-truths. Just look at the strange juxtapositions of morality around you.
Billions spent on new weapons in order to humanely murder other humans.
Rights of criminals are given more respect than the privacy of their victims.
Although there are people suffering in poverty, huge donations are made to protect endangered species. Everyone grows up being told the same thing.
Be nice to other people.
But beat out the competition.
You're special. Believe in yourself and you will succeed.
But it's obvious from the start that only a few can succeed.
You exercise your right to freedom, and this is the result. All rhetoric to avoid conflict and protect each other from hurt. The untested truths, spun by different interests, continue to churn and accumulate in the sandbox of political correctness and value systems.
Everyone withdraws into their own small gated community, afraid of a larger forum. They stay inside their little ponds, leaking whatever truth suits them into the growing cesspool of society at large.
The different cardinal truths neither clash nor mesh. No one is invalidated, but nobody is right.
Not even natural selection can take place here. The world is being engulfed in truth.
And this is the way the world ends, not with a bang, but a whimper.